Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
I'll tell you what, beautiful weather this weekend, but it was just heartbreaking sports-wise.
Did anyone's team win?
Pennsylvania.
Did anyone's team win?
Oh my gosh, obviously the... epic collapse, Penn State versus UCLA. We're going to get into that. The Phillies lose game one. Looking good there with the Dodgers. And then that went wah, wah, wah.
I didn't even look at baseball scores.
So I woke up on Sunday and said, my Eagles are going to pick me up out of this funk. And then the second half happened,
Nancy,
which was nothing.
I was watching forward. The Browns had lost in London. That was predictable, whatever. The game they could have won, but whatever. Forget that for a second. We already were devastated from the Penn State game on Saturday. And then I turn on the Eagles and I'm like, oh, they're up 17-3. Let's watch Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Get about halfway through. My wife goes,
what the hell?
Yeah.
That's what the hell.
The Eagles have been our go-to team if we're looking for a good pick-me-up.
For a little pick-me-up after that horrific, stunning, unbelievable.
Which one?
Crazy. I mean, what do you think? Out of all of those words, the only thing you could say is Penn State's epic collapse. Oh my gosh.
Do you think that's more?
What the hell was that?
More stunning than the Eagles?
Absolutely. Absolutely more stunning than the Eagles.
I'd say they're both on par to just be a mess.
No, because I think the Eagles have a season ahead. They've been undefeated. I never expect that they would have been undefeated the whole time. Yeah, they had a mess there and they got to fix it. But the Penn State thing, the money that's been put into this program, the people that are there, you know, James Franklin in the summer was like, this is the best talent, da-da-da-da-da. What are you doing? What was that? What was that mess? I mean, it was confounding. What the play calls, the fact that they didn't rush the punter, the onside kick that nobody was there for. I mean, it was terrible.
UCLA,
on so many levels.
UCLA, I mean, I hadn't paid attention to this. In the beginning of the game, they started pointing out all the different coaching changes that had recently happened.
They have an interim coach right now.
And they have, like, you know, that beautiful blonde guy. Do you see Jerry? Do you see him?
You're talking the one that looks like a kid?
Jerry Neuheiser.
I think, is the name.
And, like, you know, so
can we get him over at Penn State?
He wouldn't last. He's a California kid.
I'm joking.
I know you are. I know. So you have a new coach, any of these people. So you really didn't have any tape on what they would do. No one would have expected them to do as well as they did. So by the time.
Did they not even prepare?
But here's what I'm saying is, like, anyone who's a football expert can tell me, like, if you have brand new people putting brand new plays in, it's hard to prepare. If they have a whole plan that you didn't see, granted, they should be prepared for this. It wasn't like they were playing some monster team.
Did I feel like they just assumed this is a 0-4 team?
Probably, yeah.
They're getting blown out. We need to prepare for other ones. And you never ever should assume anything.
Sure.
And that was so bad. I mean, the only thing I could say is after the first quarter, I went and cleaned my whole closet out. I couldn't watch. I told my husband, I said, I am going to keep myself busy because I cannot watch this. And it was brutal. I don't know what else to say. So I spent about 2 hours plus. And the only good thing I can say about this weekend is I got a lot of house cleaning done because I got frustrated again.
Wish she'd come over
Eagles
my place.
Eagles game.
Every
and
Sunday
I started to clean.
Come over my house.
I said, I can't sit and enjoy it. And I said the same thing with the Eagles when they came out in the second half. And that, you know, the first drive went nowhere and they're kicking it. And I thought, I'm going to start cleaning something because they're going to make me sit here and be tortured. I knew it. I knew it as soon as they came back.
No way. You thought they were going to drop everything?
Yes,
come on.
Because they were not getting anywhere. And I thought, are you just resting on this? I saw the Broncos play the prior week.
Right.
And I knew they're really good. And I felt like every time you had that ball, you had to move it. And it's just not that you never need to, but in that game, it was bad. What the hell happened there? So they came out in the beginning where they were passing a lot more, right? Pass, pass, pass. And Tony Romo even said, well, this is good, what they should do. And look, Tony Romo, whatever you think about his broadcasting, I think he knows a lot about the game, right? Obviously, having played it better strategically than actually on the field playing.
That was good, yeah. But sometimes people have very good analytic skills.
Yes.
He's like the announcer's the guy at the bar, though. I still love his style.
And
but anyway,
he was saying, you know, in the beginning, this is good coming out passing and passing. This is good. The second half, they should, like he was saying almost, they should switch the halves, you know, rather than starting with the run game. But they didn't. And then A.J. Brown, what was he doing? Like running and then slowing down? Dude, you bitched about not getting the ball. So what happened? They go to the pass more and they lose, at least before they'd win. Yeah, and I don't know what's going on with Saquon Barkley, but whatever.
Yeah, look, I turned it on when it was 17-3, so I really didn't watch any of the game. We just said, oh, this game's over. Mm-hmm. Let's find a better game. And I said, let's watch SNL. So they were down 17-3, so then the Broncos scored. They must have scored pretty quickly because this. I have audio here of like toward the end of the game when they came back, and then someone said,
"Well, they came back at the end. Obviously, yeah. They had a hard time too a few times, but they were able to make it happen. The Eagles just couldn't do it. It was I don't know what was going on. Yeah, I didn't watch any of that. I went in the bathroom. Not that I was. I
what
was cleaning.
What kind of fan are you?
Because I said
you're self-medicating
I
with
said,
cleaning.
I know. Not only did I know they were going to go for the touchdown, I thought they were going to go for the 2 points too. There was a great pass Jalen Hurts had. Was it to Devontae Smith? And then they called it back because Saquon Barkley was in motion. It's like you guys just get out of your own way.
Did
it's
you have
so
hope
bad.
At the end, or because watching
no,
it back, it
no,
looked really,
my daughter did.
It looked so close.
Yeah, you know what? A.J. Brown put his hands in front of the other guy's face so he couldn't see it. God. If you look at it in slow motion, he kind of blocked him from him being able to see
it. At least your team threw to the end zone. My team threw to an end zone, then they got intercepted. There was a timeout called, so they went back. And then with 6 seconds or 7 seconds, they threw it down the middle of the field and didn't get out of bounds.
Oh, that happened.
They didn't even try.
Yeah, no, my daughter's like, I still believe, Mom, watch. They still have time. And I'm like, give it up. The heart was gone.
Tell me though how it feels though. I'm being serious now.
I think the Penn State thing is still bigger.
I think, listening back, it just sounds like the Eagles just really kind of went. It's like they bumped their head. They'll figure this out.
I don't know.
I have no faith in Penn State. So I
think
you're probably right.
I don't know if A.J. Brown has any chemistry with this team, to be honest with you.
Yeah, one player's not going to do it.
It feels like, again, if you watch a lot of sports, folks, what are your thoughts on these games? It almost felt like to me the bitching of A.J. Brown had them change the way they do the game and the way they were doing the games, albeit close. They'd eke out a win. I don't know how much did Jalen Hurts even run in this game? I mean, I know you weren't watching it, but it wasn't the same team. And look, I get it. You know, yes, they need to pass more, but they didn't need to pass all the time and then completely, abdicate anything with the run. I mean, that's what makes him great is that he can scramble. Is this Petullo guy helping at all? Who's calling the plays? There's a lot of questions about that.
I gotta be honest. Sometimes I question, well, I don't want to say that's wrong. I think this is some of your best sports analysis we've ever had.
No,
I'm being serious.
I mean,
the A.J. Brown comment, especially when you have somebody who is
It's not like they're happy. All like he's holding them hostage. Like, right. I'm going to be mad if you like you're walking on eggshells around this guy. Either be a part of a team or don't.
The psychology aspect of sports is people talk about it, but it's very it's not as sexy to talk about as, you know, coaching or whatever. So those are easy targets. If you get someone who is working against the grain, who is basically trying to make it about themselves and not the team,
right.
That can have a huge effect.
Yeah, it should be about, well, hey, are we winning the games? Get it. You want to get the ball more. But do you have to read a book on the sidelines? Do you have to cryptically, it's not even cryptic because we can figure it out, post on social media? Like, you literally are like, creating, it's almost like, you know, we don't want to make this person mad. Well, you know what? Just go. Just leave if you don't like it. I wouldn't even want someone like that around. Ugh.
What would you want from him? What do you, I'll make the deal right now. Send him to the Cleveland Browns. We'll see how happy he is then.
No, it's not. It's
NFL purgatory.
We're spending so much time on the Eagles, which, okay.
Penn State was
disappointing,
rough.
But the Penn State one really brings up the fundamental question, which we've asked 1,000 times before. Is James Franklin the man to coach this team anymore?
I heard some great analysis. We should maybe take a break because we could talk about his future. Because I didn't hear anyone say he's a horrible coach this weekend, but I heard a couple different interesting takes about James Franklin and what he actually brings to the table, and it lines up with everything we've seen.
Well, it is a perfect song for what happened in the rankings for Penn State.
Do we have the number yet?
Oh, yeah, we have the number. You ready? Let's play a little bit of it, Johnny L., first, just to prepare ourselves. Here we go.
I'm going to guess.
All right.
18.
Mm-mm.
Lower?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
22.
On the coaches' poll, but the AP top 25? Not even on it.
Wow.
Not even on it. The Penn State Nittany Lions didn't even make the top 25 after that shocking loss to winless, now not so, UCLA. Here's some of the headlines now. Okay. James Franklin buyout contract details if Penn State fires coach. Here's another. If James Franklin can't win with this Penn State team, could both sides do better? Here's another, CBS Sports. James Franklin should head elsewhere because he's not the guy big enough to, he's not the guy to win big enough. James Franklin has more excuses for UCLA loss than top 10 wins on his resume. Here's the Sports Illustrated headline. James Franklin and Penn State reach breaking point after UCLA disaster. Penn State fans want James Franklin fired after embarrassing game. And then the big question, how much would it cost Penn State to fire James Franklin after the loss to UCLA? We don't know a lot about his contract. From what we understand, there's some kind of a $50 million buyout because he's contracted through, I believe, 2031. But there have been people asking, is there not any kind of conditions as to what placement they should have to be in to continue as coach? I guess a lot of that isn't known. They have not been out of the AP top 25 in 3 years. It's the first time they've fallen out of the poll since 3 years. So, whoa. So, you know, he gets it's a 10-year deal. He gets $8 million a year, $500,000 retention bonus each year. If he's fired without cause, they owe him his entire base salary plus his supplemental pay and his life insurance loan multiplied by the number of years remaining. So, in other words, they would owe him $56 million if he was fired. If it waits until January 1st, 2026, we're down to $48 million. So I think we already know it's probably not going to happen because they'd be like, all right, we can save $8 million, although I think it's sadly needed.
They probably wouldn't have to pay him out a lump sum. They probably could pay him out over the course of the contracts. So you're talking
I just looked it up,
and this is the latest here. They make about $113 million in revenue. So if you're taking an $8 million hit for the next 6-7 years.
Still, what the hell kind of a contract is that?
That's a contract for a guy who's brought him pretty close. Took him from, think about where the program was.
I know. Pretty close just doesn't cut it anymore. And especially in the time where they can go in the portal and they can leave. And,
sure.
You know, where? What are you going to do? Where are you going to be next year? if this thing continues to go down in flames? Who are you going to have to want to play for you? Here's some of the names that I'm seeing be mentioned. Now, this is just one Yahoo Sports article talking about James Franklin. The Penn State football community comes up with three big names to replace Franklin if there is indeed a parting of the ways, because most people go, yeah, who are you going to put in that place? Of course, the name that comes up a lot is Nick Saban. He's retired. Many think that he has no indication he wants to come back, but his name comes up. Then you have Lane Kiffin, who's at Ole Miss.
No, don't.
He's linked to other big jobs, but decided to stay put in Oxford. Penn State might be a better job than Ole Miss on paper, but it's likely to be another situation where Kiffin is linked to a job and then stays put. The other one that they say would be the most likely is Matt Rhule. Played at Penn State, was an assistant coach for the Lions in 1998, got his start in college football head coaching at nearby Temple. So that's one that comes. He's less than 3 years into his tenure right now at Nebraska.
He also went to the NFL for a bit. He did not do well there.
Could he leave Nebraska for Penn State? These are just questions. And again, everything sounds great when you go fire, fire, fire. But what happens when you replace with somebody and you know, things don't work out either? So
I think you need to find a coach who has some big signature, big wins. The thing I saw about Franklin, which I thought was just real fair, they said, look, he's a great coach who took Vanderbilt and made them into a school people paid attention to. Penn State was really not in a great place. And he brought them back and he made them very relevant and they were getting big names. He built this program up.
Right. But is he the one to go?
Yeah, they said that the problem is he's clearly proven he can build it, but he can't get over the hump. He can't win those big games. He's shown us nothing. And this weekend was so stunning because everything he does well usually happens in the games like this. After a loss and to an unranked team, a team with no... they should have been dominant, which tells me everyone's shaken by this. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. I thought it was iffy that he might go. Now I'm thinking it seems like a certainty, but when is the question?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Obviously, our first half hour, we talked about the free falling of Penn State's Nittany Lions. They are out of the AP Top 25 for the first time in 3 years after being beat by winless, not so much anymore, UCLA. Is it time for Franklin to go? Do you think he will? There are some who speculate that maybe the pressure would be so much that he might decide on his own to leave, which would be the best, obviously, for the school. It cost them $2 million for him to go somewhere else and bring in someone else. But we ask, who would they bring in?
He's a fixer. He's not a finisher, though.
Right. It seems like he just can't get him to that top level. All right. We've got other things, though, to talk about. Let's talk locally. Data centers. On Friday night, the residents were out. There was supposed to be a vote on that proposed data center ordinance, which would regulate where they could be and some of the other restrictions. However, it died without even a vote from council. So the special meeting was at 6 o'clock. I'm looking at the report in the Scranton Times-Tribune. The motion by Councilman Richard Gumann to consider the proposed legislation could not even muster a second vote from another council member. Yes, do I have a second? And it was silent. There were about 100 residents who were there gathered for this. So I guess the residents were pretty happy. Standing ovation from a cheering crowd as one of the council folks, I guess it was, Aaron Owen, stood up and said, "I stand with the residents."
Yep.
Because she was not, and looked like the others, not going to get a second vote for that. So they thanked the residents for coming out and bringing the input. And obviously that was incredibly important for them.
It doesn't mean no data centers or data. What are we saying? Data or data? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just that they're not going to put them near residential zones. So it's good. The commercial zones have at it, we think.
Right. But you know, also, what's the next step? Someone asked Mr. Moran, and he said they can build the data centers in any zone they want under all the old conditions. We have not approved the restrictions or the safeguards that we want to put in place. Yeah, said so. He spent 10 months working on it. He said, "I'm done with it."
Yeah, look, they're not gonna, look, these data centers are coming in, and a lot of cities and going, you know, this is what we need. Right. And they're asking the towns to just change the rules for them.
Right.
Which, when a lot of money comes in, I think you see that. But, this time, you're seeing residents stand up and go, no.
There are still data centers proposed. That doesn't stop that. So what does this do? I mean, they could still come in under the old conditions, right? Under the current zoning, they are permitted in commercial, light industrial, general commercial, light industrial, and general industrial zoning districts.
But those are traditionally not integrated in the community. So you're talking about, you know, a situation where you won't see someone go, "Well, there was a park we got rid of.
Right.
We took, 50 acres of a park and we made it into this," or "we're not going to put it in someone's backyard." It'll be like we talked about, where they put in Archbold specifically, they put the asphalt production company. They didn't put it in a neighborhood. You put it off by the
KC. So they can still do it, but they'd have to do it in those locations.
Yeah, you're not going to get special citizens said, "Hey, we're not going to let you make special rules just to screw up our city." Our regular rules are already, you know, there for you to do your thing.
Right.
Have at it.
I don't
where
think they're
we
a
are
city, though. Are they, borough?
I live there.
I only My say town. That because as soon as we say that, someone goes, "Not a All city." Right. So we did start off with what a downer of a weekend it was in some Pennsylvania sports. Obviously, Penn State and their just crushing loss to UCLA brings up questions about James Franklin and his future. The Eagles had a massive, terrible letdown of a second half against the Broncos, had their first loss of the season. And as a Phillies fan during the playoffs, it was kind of sad to see them lose that first game. Something to mention, though, from the NFL this weekend. I found this story interesting. I don't know if the Minnesota Vikings were playing and they had a field goal attempt, 51 yards. It went wide right. And videos of that kick now look like the kick struck a camera cable. The ball moves, the camera wobbles. If it were noticed at the time and the rule had been correctly applied, that kicker would have gotten another opportunity to convert. If the Vikings had lost the game, it would be a much bigger issue. So I'm looking at a pro. This is on NBCSports.com. They're saying that would have been a problem. What do you do in a case like that where they don't apply a rule that would have given them a change? Now, they were able to score and it didn't, you know, add up. But they're saying the cable shouldn't have been in the way. It should have been noticed by the officials or a replay review of the Vikings. And they say that is twice during the game, said overhead interference was not properly handled by anyone.
That's
my husband and I just had a conversation about this the week before. When you see these little drones coming in and all this stuff, like, I'm like, how doesn't it get in the way? Well, more often than it does.
I don't know what it's specifically called. It's the one that kind of like hovers over the field and goes in and out. That was the only thing that came out of when Vince McMahon launched the original XFL. That was his camera idea.
Oh, okay.
And it's the only thing they could take away from that from being worth it. That was a great camera angle. But in the NFL, I was looking, they have specific rules. Like you said, they can review it. If it happened, they can redo the play. I've seen similar things happen in baseball. Mm-hmm. Baseball, I guess each team knows it's all worked into the ground rules. So if there's a wire hanging down, that's part of the ground rules, just part of the game. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything about it.
Right.
So that's the thing. It's crazy. The NFL has the rules, but then they just were like, oh, yeah, we didn't see anything. Yeah.
While we're talking about AP Top 25 college football poll and the fact that Penn State hasn't been out of the top 25, has not been out of the top 25 in 3 years, and it is out. Now, the coaches poll has Penn State at 22, but the AP poll does, you know, they're out. Some of the other news there, Miami moved back to number 2 on Sunday. Texas Tech had its highest ranking since 2008. Now we know Texas, which was also, was that the top team before the whole thing started?
With Arch Manning.
And yeah, that fell all the way out of the top 25, also for the first time since 2022. Number one, Ohio State was dominant in a win over Minnesota, but its 41st place votes were its fewest since it got to the top 5 weeks ago. The Miami Hurricanes, who moved ahead of Idle Oregon, went from receiving 4 first place votes last week to 21 this week after winning at Florida State. So when you look at the numbers, that's, you know, where it's at. So what do we have coming up? Number one, Ohio State at number 17, Illinois. That should be an interesting game. Number 7, Indiana, and number 3, Oregon. Probably the most exciting game that's coming up this weekend.
Leading up to Penn State, Oregon, I saw a lot of the announcers say that with Indiana, the best team they've seen all year.
Yeah.
But they haven't been on a big stage, big enough stage for people to
notice. There we go. And then number 8, Alabama will be at number 14, Missouri. Penn State's playing Northwestern at home. What do you think's going to happen there?
There's always next year, remember.
It's so frustrating when you see that. All right, in other news, let's just talk some national news. A federal judge late last night temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deploying any National Guard units to Oregon at all. And all of this began, this legal whirlwind, hours earlier when the president mobilized California troops for Portland after the same judge blocked him from using Oregon's National Guard the day before.
The judge is pissed, too.
And from what I understood, this was a judge who was appointed by Donald Trump in his first term. And this judge seemed incredulous that the president moved to send National Guard troops to Oregon from neighboring California and then from Texas on Sunday, just hours after she ruled the first time. So it's craziness.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. She questioned, how could bringing in federalized National Guard from California not be in direct contravention to the temporary restraining order I issued yesterday? Aren't defendants simply circumventing my order? Why is this appropriate? Because what are they going to do? Oh, I'm going to get people to come in and arrest ourselves. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, the judge also basically said it doesn't really qualify. What's happening in Portland is not exactly matched up to what he's trying to do.
Of course not. It is like they are baiting and trying to cause a bigger problem. It is wild how many people that support this administration are watching this and not freaking out about how inappropriate it is. If you see the majority, of course, you're always going to have a few people that do stupid things and are going to get in trouble. The vast majority of people are peacefully protesting. God forbid if someone yells something at them, they'll spray them in the face. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that,
yeah. You know, someone yelling something at you is not something that you need to then attack other citizens for. And what is happening is truly becoming more and more frightening every day because they will now want to treat a peaceful protest demonstration or even people who might yell at them as if it's some kind of violent riot and they're itching for a fight. We're in very dangerous times with this stuff. Anyway, so he'll just move these pieces around like a chessboard, I guess, even though he's constantly being told to stop. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, I'm very concerned that something really ugly is going to come out of this. And I'd hate to see people get, you know, and hurt any more than people are getting hurt right now. It's stunning the amount of Americans that will sit back and watch this nonsense and still support this stuff. This text kind of sums it up for a lot of people this morning on the morning news. James Franklin's got to go. Who cares how much it will cost? It doesn't matter. $10 million, $50 million, $100 million. Who cares? Money doesn't matter.
Especially
just
when it's not your money.
Just raise prices for everything. I get a new coach in there. Pay him more. Who cares? The people will just pay more. It doesn't matter. It's only money.
You're starting to sense sarcasm there.
I think there's a little sarcasm, too. Look, I think probably, I guess the best situation, obviously, would be for him to go, you know what? It's a lot of pressure. I'm not doing really well here. Should I go somewhere else? I know we all know he wants the 50 some million. He doesn't,
not gonna do that,
you know,
though, for that reason.
But he's whatever. It would be great if he would just go somewhere else for everybody. But the money is the money. And I could see him just going, no, I'm just going to come here. Now, does he need to, even if he stays there, do they need to fire some others? You can't keep the same people there. You can't. Will they demand any changes at all?
The defensive coordinator, for the most part, is highly regarded. He should stay, right? I would think.
Didn't look so good on defense.
Well, everything, all sorts of things he came in from Ohio State. He's got a really good reputation. He wants to be there. I don't know what's going to happen. There's no way he's going to resign, though, unless there's a bigger deal. I could see him going to TV, because I don't know how you go from this Penn State to like another big coaching job.
I know, because you're not showing them that you can actually do that job. Mark Sanchez, former NFL quarterback and Fox Sports analyst, faces arrest on misdemeanor charges. I only heard this weekend something about a Saturday morning stabbing downtown Indianapolis. It was weird from the get-go because it was like shrouded in some kind of, you know, not a lot of details coming out. Police confirm Sanchez was stabbed at about 12:30 in the morning during a physical altercation between two men. Both were taken to the hospital. Sanchez is in stable condition. Authorities arrested him in the hospital on charges of battery with injury, unlawful entry of a motor vehicle, and public intoxication. Was this a food delivery kind of situation? Yeah, I've seen a little bit about that.
And again, still waiting for confirmed details, but I was thinking the New York Post had a story. I guess the delivery guy had hearing issues and he had like a food truck and he was in the process of doing something, took his hearing aids out, and Mark Sanchez apparently approached him drunk, trying to get him to move his truck. And when he didn't listen, he attacked. That's what they're saying.
So he was in Indianapolis for a Fox Sports broadcast appearance. I have a feeling that job's probably gone.
At least temporarily for at least a while. Yeah, we'll see what happens. It seems like he was really blitzed out of his mind and got aggressive. That's what all signs are pointing to now. And if the pictures I saw are any indication, he really messed this guy up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.